As our beloved daddy speaks his heart to you, we offer him again our love and gratitude and the blessing of our mighty I'm presence and our call to make and keep us worthy of his love, his life, and all that he constantly bestows upon us. Beloved ones of the light, our dear hearts of the light, today I trust I may bring you the light in its great cosmic blessings of such intensity and such glorious release that you will come with me hand in hand to the great freedom of the universe and behold the glory and the powers that life is waiting to pour forth into your hands and use. For we shall enter in today to the great divine law and its mighty action of producing manifestation in the physical octave. Now, in your constant demands of the outer self, you have focused and drawn and anchored the energy of your own life into the outer conditions that have become your problems and your limitations. Now, as you come with me to behold the great cosmic law's action in producing manifestation in the physical octave, you must anchor your attention upon your presence and upon us and upon the action of the great cosmic law of energy. Now, you may all think you know something about the action and the law of energy, but you know very, very little compared to its great cosmic power that swings in perfect divine order under conscious directing intelligence everywhere throughout infinite space. All energy of life acts under divine control and directing intelligence of the great individualized beings whose responsibility and authority and capacity has made them the law of its action to produce cosmic manifestation, such as a sun, a world, planet, or a system of worlds. Now, please enter with me today and try to enter in to the understanding of your own mental processes and your own feeling world. Because, my dear ones, through doubt and fear alone, both of which are selfishness, have you bound yourselves with your own energy. I am determined to release to you the understanding and the power of those great cosmic currents of purifying violet flame to bring into your outer understanding that which compels you to be free. You have heard the messenger many times say that all your limitations are due to body consciousness, and that means to some thought or feeling concerning what the body either wants or fears will happen to itself. Now that is what makes mankind misuse the great energy of life. While if the outer intellect and the feeling world were trained to feel that the great supply and security to the body came wholly from the presence in answer to your conscious call and your own directing intelligence, you would feel a safety from your presence that the outer world will never give you. because it doesn't hold that safety, and therefore it can't give you what it does not possess. Now, I have particularly in mind the desire to help you in regard to supply. You may decree for a thing for aeons of time, but if you want your decrees fulfilled quickly and anchored into your outer affairs as conditions that produce perfection which fulfills the divine plan, then you must produce them according to law, and not just a happenstance of a desiring of a thing with such intensity that it draws to you its fulfillment one time and another time fails. Now, in producing any outer manifestation, you must come fundamentally to the understanding that unless you create the picture clear and distinct and definite in your own mind, you do not have an anchorage that produces form. You do not have a cup, so to speak, into which the energy and the power of your own life can concentrate with enough pressure to become the thing manifested in the outer world that you desire. Now, everything that comes into outer manifestation has a mental picture, or you could not produce it in the physical world, nor even in the mental or feeling world. Every thought you think has a picture within it which represents that thing to you. And thoughts are things. Feelings are things. Words are things. Now then, in producing a manifestation that you consciously design and you consciously desire to use in the physical octave to fulfill the divine plan or do anything that is constructive, you begin always with the mental picture. If that is hazy and indefinite, your words do not have a definite focus into which to draw your own life energy that becomes the thing manifest. Because anything that you want manifested in your world must live by your life. You don't quite realize that. But everything you do in your physical life, either you do with your own life's energy or you don't produce the result. Now, this is the secret of freedom, my dear ones. This is the secret of boundless supply. This is the secret of perfection, and the only way and means by which the divine plan can be fulfilled absolutely 100% all the time. You can positively produce the result 100 times out of 100 if you will follow me today with clear, alert attention and undisturbed feeling. And if your feeling is not undisturbed, you are pulling part of the energy of your emotional body into whatever your attention is fastened upon, and you receive only a small portion of that which I otherwise can give you in its fullness. Now, when you say your decree, stop before you begin and get a clear mental picture of what you want to produce. And then while you are saying the decrees, hold the mental picture and pour the love of enjoyment of the thing you desire into the energy with which you give the decree. The love in your feeling world is the quality of magnetic attraction within your own light energy, which draws from the universal, the cosmic light substance that condenses as the thing you decree into outer manifestation. Now, this is just as mechanical as molding a loaf of bread out of a piece of dough. There's not the slightest difference. If you didn't have some mental picture of the shape of your loaf of bread, you would never make a loaf of bread. Now then, your own feeling world, if it be charged with doubt or fear, is a thing that pushes away the fulfillment of your call, because both doubt and fear are repellent forces. They are not love, therefore not attractive. Love is the great cohesive power of the universe and is the vibratory action that coalesces the universal light substance into the picture of what you desire. And to produce quick manifestation, the love in your feeling about the thing is the enjoyment of it before it becomes manifested. Therefore, in the anticipation of the fulfillment of your call is the opportunity wherein lies your work or activity of pouring your love into the thing you are decreeing into outer use. Now, for some people, it seems quite difficult to generate the power of universal love. Now, that hasn't anything to do with personal attachment of what the world calls love. That of which I speak is the great divine magnetic current of life from within the great central sun through the physical sun and anchored within the electronic body, which pours itself out as a magnetic action by which it molds the universal substance into what it desires to produce in manifestation in the outer world. Now then, mankind go through year after year of financial limitation and lack of supply of many things that they could have as easily as breathing. And mankind have lived century upon century and hundreds of lifetimes after hundreds of lifetimes in the degradation and limitation and pettiness of their own feelings, which continually repel the great God blessings that are as free for your use as the air you breathe, as free as God's life. And what can you produce without using the energy of God's life? Now follow me closely, because if you will, it'll be your financial freedom. If you go wool gathering and hear half of a sentence and imagine the rest, you won't get anywhere. Even when people are working for things physically, through physical channels which are ordinarily their supply, channels of supply, many times those channels fail because the doubt and the fear, which are both discord, qualify the energy of the feeling world with the force that drives away the very thing for which they are working. Now then, if you hold clearly in mind the sharp, clear picture of what you desire that you think will produce the constructive activity of fulfilling the divine plan, if you hold clearly in the mind the picture from the present, and then you pour upon that picture your love and enjoyment of doing what the presence wants you to do and drawing into outer manifestation what will fulfill the divine plan of the present instead of your outer human desires, you will find, as you maintain that love and harmony and enjoyment of holding the picture of the present, doing the thing and releasing from its own hands into your outer use this which you require, you will find, my dear ones, supply and opportunities and wonderful blessings coming to you from channels you never dreamed were in existence. But if because, and this is why many people fail financially, if because you know there is supply in a certain channel, and many times you think, well, those people are not using that, or I need it, and they've got more than they can use, if your attention of the outer self becomes fastened to that, with the determination to bring it to yourself, regardless, even though you're doing something constructive, you will fail ultimately. Even though you draw or compel the thing into your world temporarily. Because if you draw supply from a channel that is under someone else's direction, and the divine plan wants that person to hold that for a certain length of time for its own radiation, you have caused disorder in the other channel of supply. And the disorder you caused there will create disorder for you. Therefore, it cannot produce the fulfillment of the divine plan. Now, every individual has his own direct connection with his own mighty I Am presence, which is life's open door of boundless supply to himself. But that which fulfills the divine plan must be the gift of love, and love alone is the fulfillment of the law of perfect manifestation in the physical octave. Therefore, unless your love goes to your presence in the enjoyment of holding the picture that the presence wants and sending your love there, asking the presence to produce it in your hands and use out here its own divine way by the power of its own love, unless you do that, you don't give the presence the open door by which its own magnetic currents can draw from many channels more than you can use in the physical octave. I'm trying to help you today to let go of the little tight channels and open up that you may have the limitless channels of God's boundless opulence. So long as you keep your attention fastened to people, you will be limited. And until you lift your attention to that presence and to the ascended hosts, which are wholly unlimited, you can't have the gifts of the unlimited. You can't have the divine pictures or the manifestations of the unlimited unless you go through the door of the unlimited, which your mighty I Am presence and the ascended host are with no uncertainty. Supposing you drew from certain channels in the physical octave that you feel you have the right to draw from, and you force into your world certain accumulation of wealth, where is your certainty of keeping it? If you draw it from some other place where it ought to be, even though it seems to be an excess in that place, yet you do not know what the higher mental body of any other individual wants to do with an accumulated supply. You do not know whether it is charging that supply over a certain length of time for a purpose of its own. You don't have any right to draw from channels that are in the physical world, those things that you require in your world. Your world belongs to your presence. Your presence is its own open door into the limitless. It can draw to you in a moment that which all mankind put together cannot give you through the ages. And if I can get this clear in your minds today, you'll all be free, financially and otherwise. Thank you, precious ones. Please be seated. Now, supposing you have taken a responsibility and you desire to carry that honorably, and it is constructive and is the fulfillment of the divine plan. Well, so much for the altar. But what about the fulfillment of the divine plan in regard to the supply for its upkeep or for the power that protects it? Do you not have to qualify in the fulfillment of the divine plan in those two channels just the same as you do in its outer use? You most certainly do under the divine law. But the human, through doubt and fear alone, through the centuries, has anchored within its feeling world so much terrific pull upon the things of the physical octave that it has forgotten that it has its own individual open door into the limitless. Your presence that is great enough to put you here, your presence that is great enough to supply your life and your every heartbeat with energy that you use every moment to breathe, do you not think it's powerful enough to bring you what you require for your food and your clothing or anything that you choose to do in the world of action? You belong to it, and the world belongs to it. But it has its own divine plan of its own relationship to the rest of the world. So until you get this set correctly, precious ones, and you get your house into divine order and right relationship to your presence, everything in the outer is a continual struggle and a continual pounding when it could be the great enjoyment of loving it through into outer action. You could just as well draw those manifestations that you desire as physical things. You could just as well draw them from your presence with loving happiness from the presence as to dwell in the fear of the mental and feeling world of the outer self, and through that fear let it drive you here and there and everywhere to get a pittance of an existence when you could have the mountain. I shall tell you the story that this messenger used to repeat many times from the shrine platform. When through this explanation of the law, your presence and we are offering you the use of the unlimited wealth and gifts from the present, from our octave and from your own present, and then you're either afraid to take them or let the outer old world habits fasten you so tight to the outer routine that you can't let go of it long enough to receive these greater blessings. You're just like a little boy that has his hands full of pennies. And his father says, "Let go, sonny, and I'll give you a handful of quarters." And he says, "No, I want to hold on to these." And he does, so he don't get the quarters. As long as you claw on people or physical things for your supply, you will be limited, my dear one. I'm not blaming or criticizing, condemning anybody. This is an old race habit of fear and doubt. And today I shall cut it free from you, because it's just like chewing gum. It sticks you to everything that you don't want. Thank you, precious ones. Now, for just a moment, stand there. I'm going to get this energy into you. Now, supposing you need something in the outer. You're doing something constructive, and it is the fulfillment of the divine plan. is your responsibility to fulfill that divine plan your presence way. And therefore, if something suddenly seems to be needed, you turn quickly to your presence and you say, "Mighty I Am Presence, this is required here as the next thing to do to fulfill your divine plan." Now you see, and I amend the joyful obedience of this outer self to you. Now you show me the happy, joyous way of fulfilling this requirement. If what I am to use here is in the physical octave, then see, you bring it to me by your great love and make me love you enough to keep the door open. Bring this to me by your love. Then, if it comes from the physical octave, bless it with your love, thank your presence, and go on fulfilling its divine plan. If it is not the divine plan, or it has not to draw it from the outer, or it has not yet come into the outer, maybe not yet created, and you say to your presence, "Show me the most joyful way of obedience to you, and the most powerful focus of your love through me that brings this into my hands as you want me to have it now." And then, if doubt and fear beset you, order them out of your world and say, "Get out of me. I belong to the love of my presence, and its love does fill me with the fulfillment of its own divine plan that brings only happiness to everyone." I challenge you to try me out for 1 week on that and see whether or not your presence knows many ways of bringing to you things that you're going to require, things that will make you happy, things that will lift your limitations from you, things that will enable you to have freedom go ahead and do a gigantic work with great happiness and yet hold it invincibly protected. Now this is the divine way of creation, and I have charged you with my feeling of that joyous release that compels you to be supplied the way of the present. Thank you. Won't you be seated? Thank you so much. Now please be seated. Now I'll show you what you do to yourselves, and I'm quite sure that you will agree with me. What is your habitual feeling, and what is the habitual picture in your mind when you have a bunch of bills and you say, "Oh, I've got all those bills. I've got to pay those bills. Well, here's all these bills." You never once stop. I look at those bills and say, "Mighty I Am Presence, pay them. See that that is paid through your love, and keep me so happy with your love pouring through me that whatever is necessary to do to pay these bills loves to come to me to do this for you." You never thought about loving your bills, did you? Well, the day you do, bills won't bother you any more than air. Of course, sometimes air becomes contaminated, but you can change that too. Now, I want to take this element of doubt and fear out of you, because my loved one, the money beast of the world, holds its whip over mankind through debt, through doubt and fear. Why? Because through doubt and fear it disturbs your harmony, so your supply can't come. Now prove to me anything to the contrary. I am trying to get the whole student body to practice the picture in the mind of the fulfillment of your call through love. And you can do it just as sure as you exist in this universe. I am determined to get this clear in all of your minds and help you reverse the habits of the race consciousness that has bound itself through debt and doubt and fear by its own selfishness. Now, this is what takes place. Because of doubt and fear, people lock through their feeling a small quantity of something to themselves, which if they would let it go in love and blessing and give it back to the presence in the enjoyment of fulfilling the divine plan, they would keep the stream open by which it could expand. Because a thing can't expand if you've got it locked into something. Now this is why mankind are these conditions. The war beasts of the world and the money beasts of the world and the debt beasts of the world holds mankind in its clutches and usurps the authority of the great Christ presence of the mighty I Am by its whip of doubt and fear and lack of love. Because fear is lack of love. And the thing that makes individuals lock the door against their supply is because of that feeling in the physical body as to what's going to happen to it if it doesn't get enough to eat or clothe itself or have the kind of a roof over its head that it wants or have the physical things of this world that it wants, which are but temporarily loaned to the use of the outer self. Now that is the thing that makes mankind slaves to the destructive forces when they could be free in the opulence of God. That's why we have given you that decree in this class. I demand and I am. Now knows these two things. Your demand is the fulfillment of the cosmic law's requirement that you must demand from the greater life its substance and energy into a concentrated focus in your outer use in order to set it into action and stir it into vibratory activity. And your acknowledgement, I am, is the acceptance of it. When you say, I am a thing, you accept that you, as the God-like, have those qualities within you, or you have the picture of the design of the divine plan that you want fulfilled in the outer world. You've got to give those two commands before you will produce a manifestation. Now, if you will hold clearly in your mind when you say, I demand and I am, that is your stirring into action and then you're accepting its concentration into outer manifestation, the picture, the universal light substance, to fill the picture that is in your mind at the time you speak those words. And you draw it quickly or otherwise, depending on the amount of love and enjoyment that you put into the contemplation of the picture. Now, that does not mean that you can sit over here in the corner and just daydream and not move a muscle and expect things to drop in your lap out of thin air. Why do you suppose the presence gave you a set of muscles? Why do you suppose you've got nerves in your body? Why do you suppose you've got an intellect with which to think? Why do you suppose you have the capacity to love if it isn't for use and divine use instead of human? I'm sometimes tempted to take a class and train you to visualize and show you what a good time you could have. But the reason I hesitate is because it would become so popular that people would surge into this activity just for money, and I won't open the activity to that. It would wreck you if I did. I can teach you how to produce manifestations. You can all have an abundance of every good thing in the outer. But if you're going to let yourselves become fastened to the powers that you're using, you will again forget the present and go the way you have gone before. And I'm determined this time to keep the door locked against the fascination of phenomena, against the fascination and pull of physical things. Otherwise, I could take you and in a week's time let you by your own visualized picture, your own feeling of love to that picture, draw into the outer manifestations that would just make you so astonished you could scarcely believe their reality. Mankind have had these powers before, and they became more entertained using the powers than they were loving the presence or trying to fulfill its own divine plan. And this time, I am not going to let you injure yourselves, so we'll put the phenomena where it isn't going to hold the attention to the point where you forget the present. The person that isn't concerned about anything first except standing at attention to the present, sending your love and your gratitude there, demanding that it fill the outer self, demanding that its divine plan be outpictured, and everything in the outer is for use only to fulfill that divine plan. As soon as you are happy not to use the things of the outer just for amusement or entertainment or just to gratify the feeling of doing as you please, then you will be content to use everything in serving the presence, and you will enjoy loving the presence and loving to give obedience to the presence. Then obedience will not be difficult for you. It will be as natural as breathing. Now, until you understand this and conquer the outer feeling, then, precious ones, you may solve problems today. You might pay up all your bills today, get a little reserve, you know, and then you begin to feel very secure on that money. And you would again, the next time that were swept away, that panic and fear would strike you. And again, with the life of the creator of the universe in your heart, you would fear that the outer self wasn't going to eat. Now you've got to one day conquer that thing. This outer self has got to be put in the place and told that you're not concerned about whether it eats or whether it doesn't eat, or whether it ever again gets anything it wants. You're concerned with loving that presence and giving the obedience that enables this to become perfect out here. And precious ones, you don't know how much power you give to money until suddenly it's all swept away. And then the outer self is just panic-stricken with fear. When you lose your pocketbook, what is the feeling? I don't want you to lose it. I don't want you to have that feeling. But why is the outer self so panicky? Because it loves the money more than it does its God. Now that's the plain truth. Because if you love the presence enough and something happened to the outer, you would stand loving that presence and say, "Mighty I'm presence, forgive me for not obeying you. But you take care of me, you see that I have something just as good or 1,000 times better come to take its place, and don't let the ripple of anything but your love be in me." It's the only thing will ever make you master over the outer world. The only thing will ever open the floodgates to the limitless to you. You have to become indifferent to whether this outer self is always going to get everything it wants or not. When it begins to torment you with wanting this and that and the other thing, and using up all your time and energy to get it, so you don't have time to go back to your presence, it's time to take that thing and wring its neck and say, you go back there where you belong. And precious ones, I want you to be free from this thing, because it will disturb you periodically till you conquer it. And you may have to go through it or not, just depending on your determination to conquer it. Supposing everything were swept away, physically speaking, in the outer that you require. So long as your presence leaves you here with your heart beating, it's got a purpose and a divine plan to be fulfilled through you, or it would take you in the next octave. So long as it leaves you here, it's willing to provide food and clothing, life, and whatever you require. I am determined to root out these things that have been your chains through the centuries. And the day that you take every problem and every limitation and look it in the face for what it is and say, well, I don't care if I did create you. I am the God presence of light that can dissolve you from creation because I am your master. And it won't scare you anymore. Precious ones, you would be surprised what happens in the mental and feeling world to people and causes them to do the things that are so tragic just because there come financial losses or something is taken away in the outer and they're thrown into a panic just because the outer can't have its own way. For no other reason in the world. What happens in a panic, financial panic? Those of you who lived through 1929 should have many remembrances if you care to learn the lesson. People who have had a great deal of money, who have the capacity to make a fortune or run a big business and then suddenly it crashed, it was of so much importance that they committed suicide by the dozen, jumping out of windows. Why? Why should they render that ingratitude to that present own temple? Well, the divinest power in the universe, in the temple, throw the temple away. Why? Because of a few dollars. That's what makes people cowards before the divine law. Take the importance of money away from it. It's only as much importance as it becomes the harmonious servant of the presence to fulfill its own divine plan. People say, oh yes, but you can't get it. I've heard you talk like that. I've had many sassy people talk to me. But you have to have it. Oh, do we? Well, we live in our octave without it. So what? We don't have money in the Ascended Master's octave. But we have the boundless God powers of life. And we don't know what debt or poverty is. We don't know what limitation or ill health is. We don't know what hate and condemnation is. So do you have to have it? It's a wonderful tool, a wonderful servant, a wonderful friend, and a wonderful blessing. If it fulfills the divine plan and does not make you fear, if it does not become your master. But if you use it as a whip over others, the day will come you will whip yourself with your own agony till life, the greater life, takes mercy on you and illumines you to show you what you do to yourself. Now, I am determined to help the student body be cut free from the mass race consciousness of doubt and fear. And money is one of the easiest channels by which that holds its whip over the outer self. But precious ones, the manifestation, now mark you, you must, if you're going to reach mastery, if you're going to fulfill the divine plan, your presence must be your master through the outer self. And if anything or anybody on this earth has power to disturb you for the time being, you have turned your back on your own master, your own life from your presence. Now I am determined to clear away as much as you will let me the mass race consciousness of doubt and fear and lack, because these are all concerned with the body. Everything that is of doubt or fear or lack is body consciousness, something concerning the desires of the atomic structure and the mental and feeling world to have its own way and do as it pleases in the outer. Now I am determined to take that away from you and replace it by this great love to the present and the great enjoyment of fulfilling its divine plan and the enjoyment of giving it obedience. And then when you say to the presence, I seem to need so much down here, if that's your way of fulfilling this divine plan, then will you see that it comes to me by your love and keep your love in me so victoriously all-powerful that I do the right thing with it and I keep my door open by which it can come to me from the channel that you choose. If you don't, precious ones, you have more and more and more struggle from which you could be so easily free. The sun doesn't struggle when it supports a whole system of worlds. It stands serene above all and shines its love and gives its life and enjoys its manifestation of perfection. And you are the sun of your universe. If you are not the sun of happiness and love to your world will be filled with shadows and distortions. And it does not need to be, because that's not the divine way of God's mighty plan for you. Oh, precious ones, these things have come about only because mankind have fastened the attention to the machinery, so to speak, of creation and manifestation in the physical octave, instead of the great loving enjoyment and gratitude for the great God gift of life. People don't feel any, precious ones, they don't feel any compunction of conscience at all when they become angry or irritated or rebellious or treacherous or deceitful or arrogant. Why, it doesn't even occur to them that they are dishonoring God. And yet every discordant thought, feeling, and spoken word is a dishonor to God's life. And yet the outer self has become so arrogant, it thinks it has a right to send out anything it pleases and doesn't have to pay the penalty. And of course, the only person that gets fooled is the outer self. So it ties itself in chains in which it grinds away through its own misery, century after century, until the great mercy of life, in the love from some ascended master, pours the light that gently raises the attention to the point where the presence can be revealed and explained, that the outer self may understand where is the pathway of life and who supplies this universe with every good thing. I want the I Am student body free from death. I want the I Am student body joyous in taking the greater responsibilities that are soon to be yours. I want the I Am student body to be so clear-headed, so balanced, so joyous, and so anchored in the love to that presence that nothing can sway you off or cause you to doubt or fear or become distressed, because you are simply handling a greater responsibility that contains greater blessings for you. Why, it's a privilege to give to that presence. Your presence, your happiness grows greater. You can't give to God and have unhappiness as a return. That's unthinkable. How could you give to the source that gives you life and have anything come back to you but greater love and blessing. So it's a privilege to give back to that presence. The only thing that punishes you is when you think the altar is more important than that presence. Now, let us take up something that you want to do. Each of you has something you either want to do personally, or a service you wish to render, or something you'd like to do for the nation, or whatever it is. If you have the desire to do something constructive, pour your love to the presence. Visualize that done in its completeness. Pour your love and your enjoyment of anticipation upon it, and then issue your decree, I demand this, come forth to fulfill the divine plan, and I am that divine plan fulfilled in the greatest enjoyment of God's love that is in all creation. Had you ever thought of just enjoying God's love? Well, you should. You think you enjoy loving people and things and what have you. But why not enjoy loving God, your mighty I am presence? As soon as you really feel that joy in just one fraction of a second, you will know its happiness is more boundless than all the whole world put together, were it at your feet. And what could ever come back to you but greater love and joy from your presence? And watch that you do not lightly take in this work the attitude that you look back to your presence only when you need something or are in distress.